Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program. I'm glad you could join us today. And if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 6. This is the Gospel of John chapter 6. And this is the third message on a series I've been preaching called Christ, the Bread of Life. Christ, the Bread of Life. That's part 3. This has been a series that I've enjoyed preaching, and I hope if you've kept up with it, you've enjoyed hearing it. Before I preached a few messages on Christ, the water of life. And then now, Christ, the bread of life. And I love that because it represents Christ as being all that the believer, a sinner saved by grace, needs for salvation. The water of life, that's salvation. The bread of life is salvation and sustenance. And you know, back over in the book of Matthew, chapter 5 and verse 6, one of the Beatitudes, the Lord said in that Beatitude, He said, "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled, they shall be filled." And that hunger and that thirst, the thirst is quenched. It's a spiritual thirst that man does not naturally have, because it's brought about by the Holy Spirit in conversion, in the new birth, whereby He gives man a thirst for righteousness. And what is righteousness? It's perfect satisfaction to God's law and justice. And the Holy Spirit gives man a thirst for righteousness, a thirst that can only be quenched as they come to Christ and rest in Him for all righteousness. That's the righteousness of God. The righteousness that Christ worked out in His obedience unto death as the surety, the substitute, the redeemer of His people. And in the same way, the Holy Spirit gives sinners a hunger for righteousness that can only be satisfied in the person and work of Christ. If you have a hunger and thirst after righteousness, but that hunger and thirst can be fulfilled, satisfied, quenched in any other way other than the glorious person and the finished work of Christ for all righteousness, it's not a work of the Spirit. And that's why Christ, if you look at verse 37, I've dealt with these verses, but I just want to emphasize this. This is so important for salvation. Christ said here, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Now, when did the Father give these to the Son? Well, the Bible says before the foundation of the world. And we read in Ephesians chapter 1. We read in John 17. He talks about as many as the Father had given him. That's the elect of God. The Bible speaks of election. And election is not a negative doctrine. It's a glorious doctrine. Election is unto salvation. And before the foundation of the world, God chose a people to save. Now, it's not our job, our business, to sit around and wonder if we are one of God's elect or not. It's our business to bow to the revealed commandments of God in the gospel. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 29:29 that the secret things belong unto the Lord, but the revealed things belong to us. What has God told us? He's told us that He has an elect people, and He's told us those people shall, without fail, by the power of God's grace and goodness, they shall come to Christ. That's what He says here. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And somebody might reason, and this is sinful reasoning, this is human rationalization, they might say, well, it doesn't matter if I come to Him, If I'm not one of his elect, he won't receive me. Oh, no. The other side of that is this. Not only all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, but him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Christ has never and will never turn away any sinner, every sinner who truly comes to him for righteousness, for salvation, for forgiveness. Now the problem that men and women have is that by nature, we don't want salvation God's way. The way that glorifies God and exalts Christ and leaves us with no room to glory. By nature, as we're naturally born, and this is why we have to be born again. By nature, we want salvation in a way that gives us some bragging rights. And that's why false gospels pervade over this world of salvation conditioned on sinners. And whatever condition it is that you meet, that gives you room to boast. Whether it's just accepting Jesus as your personal Savior, or whether it's doing good works, or whatever. You see, salvation is not conditioned on the sinner. It's all conditioned on Christ. He fulfilled that condition, all those conditions. He is the Lord our righteousness, and all for whom He died will be brought by the power of the Spirit to bow to His way and come to Him, pleading nothing but His blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so He says in verse 38, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. That's showing the subservience of the Son to the Father. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they're all one God in three persons, co-equal in every attribute of deity, but for the purpose of saving sinners like us, Christ made Himself of no reputation and came in the form of a servant, submitting to the will of the Father. The Father's will, now think about this, the Father's will and the Son's will and the Spirit's will are all the same. But in the covenant of grace, which is the covenant of salvation, the Father represents the sovereign rule of the Godhead. The Son served the Father and serves His people. Philippians 2 said He made Himself a servant. He's the servant of the covenant. And all of the conditions of the salvation of God's people, whom He gave to the Son before the world began, were put upon Christ. And He was made our surety. That means the debt of sin that His people would run up was put upon Him, charged to Him. And the Spirit submits to the Father and the Son to be the great applier of that salvation in the new birth. He gives spiritual life from the Father and the Son to God's people. And so Christ said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. I'm not here on my own, He says. This is the work of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, whose will is together. And then He says in verse 39, I love this verse. I could preach on this 1,000 times. He says, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. What does that tell us? Christ is telling us that all whom the Father gave Him shall come to Him, they will not be turned away, and they will never forsake Christ. They will never lose that salvation. He will lose nothing, but He's going to raise it up again at the last day. That's the final days of glorification, when Christ comes again. There's no such thing in the Bible of a true salvation that can be gained by what we do or choose, and then can be lost again or afterward by sinning. That is a false gospel. Hear what I'm saying to you. Anybody who believes that you can be saved one day and then lost the next day or some other day does not know the truth. They do not know the truth of the true gospel, because the gospel says that Christ fulfilled all conditions to ensure the eternal salvation and final glory of all for whom he died and was buried and arose again. He'll lose nothing. And that's why I tell you that if you're born again by the Spirit and you've truly come to Christ for salvation, you cannot ignore it, you cannot deny it, and you cannot leave it. Now that doesn't mean we cannot sin, we still sin. We are sinners saved by grace. But we cannot totally forsake Christ in the way of what the Bible calls apostasy. Apostasy is a person who had a profession of faith. An apostate is a person who had a profession of faith, but it wasn't real. It wasn't Holy Spirit worked faith. It was just a sham profession. And later on, because of persecution or love of the world or whatever, they leave it. They forsake it. But John the Apostle made it clear in his first letter, in 1 John chapter 2, that those who leave it, forsake it, apostatize from it, they never were of us. He says that in 1 John 2 and verse 19. Look it up. He said they were not of us. He says, had they been of us, they would no doubt have remained with us. But they went out that it might be made manifest or known that they were not of us. So if you profess the true gospel and then later on turn against it and forsake it, you never believed it to begin with. You claimed you did. But Christ says here in John 6 and verse 39, he says, all that he gave me and that of all which he had given me, I should lose nothing. And it's all dependent upon him. It's not dependent upon us. He says in verse 40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Again, the certain assurance of eternal life and glory for those whom God chose, who are justified in God's sight. You know, that's what is it to be justified? I tell you that all the time on this program. It's to be forgiven of all of our sins on one ground, the blood of Jesus Christ. It's to be declared righteous in the sight of God based upon Christ's righteousness, which God has imputed, charged, accounted to us. And that cannot be taken away. The Bible says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who can condemn us? It's Christ that died and risen again, seated at the right hand of the Father. Look at in verse 41, the Jews murmured. We talked about that because he said, I am the bread. Now that's what we're talking about. Christ, the bread of life. Christ, the water of life to quench our spiritual thirst. Christ, the bread of life to satisfy our spiritual hunger, meeting all the needs. And he said this. He said, I'm the bread of life. He told them earlier, he said, that manna that came down from heaven. He said, Moses didn't give that to you. God did. But he's the manna. Christ is the true manna. That manna that came down from heaven in the wilderness to give them sustenance, nourishment, that was a type. A type of the Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life. And he said, I'm the manna. I'm the bread that came down from heaven. And they said, aren't you Jesus, the son of Joseph? We know your father. We know your mother, Mary. Now we know that Joseph was not his physical father, but he was his adoptive father. Because Christ had no physical father. He's the son of God. The son came from the father in heaven. But he had a physical mother. That's Mary, the mother of the human body of Christ, the humanity of Christ. And he says, how is it? They said, how is it that you say you came down from heaven? And look at verse 43. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Now I've dealt with that verse too. Because that's showing man's natural inability to believe the gospel. Now, natural inability, and it's a spiritual inability. But what happens when a person hears the gospel And they believe it. What happened there? Well, God has done a work of grace. He's a new creation. That person who believes is a new creation. That's the work of God. That's not your work or my work. We can't attribute that to ourselves as if we were the source of it or the power of it or the goodness of it. So we preach the gospel to everybody. God has some sheep out there. Christ said, my sheep will hear my voice, and I know them, and they'll follow me. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Any of you who call upon his name, the name is what identifies him and distinguishes him as the God of glory in Christ. It's not just a label. It's not just saying Jesus or praise the Lord. It has a whole descriptive doctrinal system behind it. Who is Jesus Christ? God manifest in the flesh. What did he accomplish when he died on the cross? He brought forth everlasting righteousness that enables the Father to be just and justify the ungodly, to ensure the salvation of his people. So if you hear the gospel and you believe it, who do we attribute that to? You? No. Attribute that to God. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So he says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. If you believe the gospel, the Father has drawn you. And I will raise him up at the last day. There again, he's emphasizing there's no possibility of losing this. Verse 45, he says, it's written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard. Now, to hear, you got to have ears, don't you? You got to have a hearing ear. Remember, Christ told his disciples in Matthew 13 when they asked him the question of why do you preach in parables? And he said it's a judgment against those who refuse to hear because they don't have ears to hear. Now, they had ears, and they could hear what he's saying, but they didn't believe it. They didn't love it. They didn't have spiritual ears. They didn't have spiritual eyes to see what they needed to see. But Christ looked at his disciples and he said, blessed are your ears for they hear. Blessed are your eyes for they see. If you believe the gospel, you've been given spiritual ears and eyes. You've been blessed. And you've learned of the Father and come to him. He says in verse 46, not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. There is no perception of the high and holy God apart from a saving revelation of Jesus Christ. This is why those who deny Christ deny the Father. Any person who says he can come to the Father on his own, without Christ, without a mediator, they're lying. God is a spirit. God is high and holy. Man could not stand in the bright effulgence of the glory of God. We have to have a mediator. We have to have an intercessor. We have to have an advocate. And there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. It's not Mary. It's not one of the saints. It's not anyone but Christ. And so he says in verse 47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me have everlasting life. I am that bread of life. He says in verse 49, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and they're dead. They had that manna that came from heaven. It was still physical bread, but they died. Verse 50, he says, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven that a man may eat thereof and not die. This bread, Christ, the bread of life, is everlasting life. You'll never die. And he says in verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. Christ is not. You know that manna that came down from heaven, they were told to go out and gather each day just enough for each day. And he said, if you gather more than what you need, it'll rot. It'll be dead. Just like food here on earth, if you don't preserve it, it's going to rot if you get too much. Well, Christ said he is the living bread and He is everlasting life. There's no death in him. He shall live, and if any man eat of this bread, verse 51, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now, he's talking about the giving of himself, his body, as a sacrifice for sins. He's not talking about his physical body, that they can eat that body. You know, the Catholic Church has a very bad doctrine called transubstantiation, where they talk about when they give the wafer, that it actually turns into the body of Christ. That's not true. We're not cannibals. We don't eat the physical body of Christ. But we partake of the bread of life when we believe on him. And this is what he says here. Look on. He says, the bread that I will give, verse 51, is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. That's not every... Now, the world there doesn't mean everybody without exception. If it did, everybody without exception would live forever in glory. He's talking about the world of those whom the Father gave to him, out of every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation. God has a people all over this world, out of every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation. There's no physical, social, economic, racial barrier. It's all sinners saved by grace, Jew and Gentile, all over this world. And John emphasizes that in his gospel because the Jews, actually the unbelieving Jews, thought that salvation was only for them, and that for any Gentile to enter into that salvation, he had to, by confession and by circumcision, become a Jew first. And even then he was a second-class citizen. But that's not true. Listen, any sinner saved by grace is an equal member of the household and family of God based upon the blood of Christ, based upon his righteousness imputed. So in verse 52, it says, the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? You see, they had their mind on physical flesh. And then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And then verse 55, he says, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Verse 56, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Now, is he talking about cannibalism here? Is he talking about some miraculous way in which when you take the Lord's Supper, for example, and you eat the bread, it turns into his body, and you drink the wine, or many people use grape juice, which is wrong, but if you drink the wine, it turns into his blood? No, not at all. He's already made it clear. To eat his body and to drink his blood is to believe in him. It is to partake of him by faith, resting in him for all salvation, for all forgiveness, all eternal life, all righteousness. Christ is my all in all. And I feed upon him spiritually. I'm thirsty for righteousness. Well, he is my righteousness. I'm hungry for righteousness. He is my righteousness. And so verse 57, the Lord said to them, and the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Now that's clear. The Lord Jesus Christ is the living bread, the bread of life. And we partake of that bread in faith, believing in him, resting in him, spiritually feeding upon him, his word. Remember, he told Satan on the Mount of Temptation, he said, man does not live by bread alone, physical bread, but by every word that comes from God. That's the bread of life. He's the bread of life. Well, as he goes along here in chapter 6, verse 59 says, these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" They recognized that these were hard sayings because it went against their grain. The gospel goes against the natural desire and bent and grain of man. You see, we all by nature, we think salvation in some way, at some stage, in some part, is the product of something we do, something we choose. And when we hear the gospel, that it's all conditioned on Christ and all fulfilled in Him, and that all for whom He died and was buried and arose again shall be saved and shall be raised up again based upon His righteousness imputed, that just goes against our natural way of thinking. And that's why our natural way of thinking has to be changed by God in the new birth. That's the light. You know, several months ago in John chapter 1 and 2 and 3, I dealt with Christ who is the light. Christ the light of life. He's the light of life. He's the bread, the water of life, the bread of life. Well, that light, the Bible says in John 3:19, that He is the light that came down from heaven that men hate because their deeds were evil. You see, the gospel exposes that every effort of man to make himself saved, to make himself righteous, is evil because it does not glorify God and it denies Christ and it exalts the sinner. So it's a hard saying. So that tells us, if we believe it, we're miracles of God's grace and power in Christ. We've partaken of the bread of life. Christ, the bread of life, the water of life, the light of life. And what a joy it is to feed upon Him in His Word, to grow in grace and in knowledge. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.